Blog Talk Radio.
It's the brother, it's the brother, you wanna.
Okay, I'm reloaded,
You guys got fat out there when we all stopped on the street. It's my turn.
You're welcome, you're all welcome. Enjoy. Okay, I'm reloaded.
If you're unconvinced a particular plan of action I've decided, tell me so. But allow me to convince you, and I promise you right here and now, no subject will ever be taboo. Now, if any of you sons of bitches got anything else to say, now's the time! I didn't think so.
You're all welcome! Enjoy! Enjoy!
What's going on, beautiful people? It is Rasheem. This is A Brother's Point of View, Wednesday. What's today's date? October 12th, 8 p.m. October 12th, 8 p.m. And tonight is me and my dude, John. We're going to kick it. John, you're going to introduce yourself. What's going on? Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Yeah, what's up, man? This is John Fire Ali, once again broadcasting from high above Silver Spring. Shout out to everybody out there listening on the internet throughout the galaxy and the cosmos.
I think I need to give you a quick applause for that.
Applause.
I got to find that boo. Remember we used to have a boo?
Why I got to get a boo?
I need to shout out to Alien.
Speaking of which, your man Obama did a really good thing. He said he wants to put somebody on Mars by 2030, or was it 2040? Something like that.
See, here's my question is, how does an outgoing president tie up resources and funds to put somebody on another planet long after he's going to be in office? Like, how does that happen? How do you not tie, how does someone who can't stand him not come in office and put the kibosh on all those plans? I don't get it.
All that. If Trump gets in, he's putting the end to that, Obamacare, everything else. So, but I appreciate the sentiment. I would infinitely prefer to use that money to pay off my student loans. But, whatever. I kind of understand what he's saying.
Please, if Trump get in office, man, I read something earlier today said if Trump get in office, I'm reading the fine print on everything, mess around, find myself in slavery again. Nah, not going to happen. Not going to happen. And, today's topic is something that's really, really, it's been a hot button issue over the last few weeks. We're going to get into it. We're going to give our own perspective. And listen, right now it's just Rook and Cook. It's the two of us online. So if y'all got some comments and y'all want to talk about it, call in. I mean, I see people already calling. Call in. We'll pull you on the line. We'll get your opinions on this. And we keep you on the line. So we want to know what you think about the topic. But before we get into the topic, I got to say something. John, my damn external hard drive crashed yesterday.
Damn.
What's the purpose of having an external hard drive to back up your computer if the backup fails?
Everything was on the hard drive, man.
Everything was on it.
When you say everything, are you talking about like all your pictures or like what does everything encompass?
All my photography, all my documents, the complete draft of my first novel, what I was working on for the second novel, notes for the third and fourth novel, everything.
Wow.
Everything.
So this is the backup to your hard drive. So you still have it on the computer or it's gone, it's just gone?
Well, I was just saving it to the external hard drive because I have a MacBook Air. These things don't have a lot of space.
Oh.
So instead of playing around with saving anything on the MacBook Air, I was saving it to the hard drive.
Dang.
So now I got to see if I can get me a recovery experts to go on ahead, see, crack open the joint and get the information out that I need, because I mean it's got to still be there. I need to get that
it
information.
It's going to somebody that might be out there listening to us right now might know exactly what you're talking about and how to do it. I am technologically autistic. I have no idea. I'm almost lost about what you're talking about, period. So finding it is definitely beyond my own expertise, but I'm sure that there's somebody out there that can find exactly how to do it, unlock it, get it all out of there, et cetera, et cetera. So I hope you find that, because people may not know this, but Rasheen is an author and already has one published novel, right? It's just one, is it two?
Just one.
Okay, so yeah. Got to get that, got to find that, because, you know, the world needs that kind of thing.
Needs that kind of thing. You know what? Hold on. Let me get my boy, my cousin. Let me get my cousin, Jonathan, up on here real quick. Mr. Josie.
Greetings, everybody. Greetings. How y'all doing out there in Brother Point of View land?
Right.
Let's give him a little applause.
Point of order. Why is it that he automatically gets the applause? I got to ask for my applause. What is this? I'm going to take this up with the executive producer after we get off the air. Anyway, go ahead.
Executive producer, me. That's it. Me. Simple thing. I was actually prepared to hit the applause button. After you did your joint, I don't know what the hell I was doing. I just wasn't looking. I wasn't prepared. So for that.
Technical difficulties have occurred with the hosts of this podcast. Please do not adjust your broadband connection. Thank you.
All right. Now, listen, I see Yenny out there, too. Yenny, make sure you crawl up in here, because I know you got something to say about the topic at hand. I know you do. Yenny knows what the topic is, because she actually reposted it for us in her own social network. So I know Yenny got something to say about this. So I'll see you in the chat room, Yenny. When you're ready to give us some good word, you call on in and give us some good word. All right, so the topic, what we're talking about today, we're talking about Nate Parker, The Birth of a Nation, and rape. And the reason why we're talking about that, because like I said, it's been a hot-button issue as of late, because Nate Parker had this movie he had created, he written, directed, starred in it as Nat Turner. He wanted to highlight the rebellion that took the lives of slave masters and slaves. And it was at what? Sundance? It dropped at Sundance, and immediately Fox was like, $17 million. I'll give it to you. Give us the film. So it was quickly acclaimed at Sundance, because they felt like this was just going to be the newest, next, hottest, dopest thing. People fought over this, came off $17 million. It was the first time in the history of Sundance this type of money went to anyone for a movie coming at Sundance. It releases. Between the time of Sundance and it releases, I don't know actually the timeline of the woman's suicide, but there was a woman who had accused Nate Parker and the co-producer, director, writer of the movie of rape. They went to court.
Yeah, that stems from when he was in undergrad. So we talking.
He was in college. Right.
Yeah.
So this happened. They went to court. He was not found guilty. And as a result, went about his business. Years later, the young lady, she commits suicide. So when he's made aware of this during an interview, then it rehashes all of the things that went down with regards to the sexual assault, the rape. And now there are a bunch of people who say, I am not going to support a rapist film, period. He's a rapist. I'm not going to support it. People on the other hand said, echoing what he said, listen, I was accused of rape. I was tried in a court of law. I was found not guilty. I'm not a rapist. What more do you want from me? And that arrogance compounded the issue and made more people say, I'm definitely not supporting him now. So the movie drops, and in the first weekend, when it's supposed to be a blockbuster film that Fox paid $17 million for, and the first weekend it only made $7 million. That makes it an abysmal failure. So the question now is, it becomes, did it flop because everyone came out and said, I'm boycotting it because he's a rapist? Or did it flop because the people did not like the movie? They didn't deem that the movie was good enough to give them money to.
I mean, okay, let me just touch on one quick thing. Yes, the movie was, quote-unquote, bought for $17 million, and it made $7 million. It made half or almost half the investment back. It's not a flop by any stretch of the imagination. And, I mean, we need to be realistic about things. I mean, the whole Nate Parker rape and him as a complete person, I will get to later, but I'm talking about strictly the movie and its performance. We're talking about
right.
Basically a art house kind of film that was never going to be a quote-unquote blockbuster. When I think of blockbuster, I'm talking about 100 million grossing picture, you know, this kind of thing. This movie is or was kind of positioned to be like one of those Academy Award nominee type flicks that, you know, that are only seen by a few people anyway. So I really can't say that it's a flop. I will absolutely co-sign that the avalanche of negative publicity that is attached to Nate Parker, his co-defendant, who is also his co-writer, who actually was found guilty of the rape of the woman, all that associated with it clearly had a major, major impact, because when it first came out that this happened, people were ecstatic. People were like, yo, I cannot wait to see this. I'm excited. I'm geek. Yak, yak, yak. And then as soon as this information came out, or I shouldn't say came out, because apparently it happened 10-plus years ago. It was already well-known in some circles, but it became more public information in the aftermath of the Sundance Festival and blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, like, literally overnight, the whole attitude towards not just the movie, but to him was like, no, we are not having it because of a lot of variety of different reasons. But I just wanted to first clear up that one point. I don't think it's a flop just yet. If this movie grosses $30, $40 million, I think that's pretty much a ceiling, but I think that it's very much accomplishable. It can still do that. It's not a flop.
You still think it can gross $30, $40 million?
Correct. I mean, I'm talking about gross. I'm talking about box office, because, yes, they bought it for $17 million, but then let's say they spent another $17 million in promo. So we're talking about maybe, let's say, $30, $40 million sunk into the project as a whole. I mean, roughly, I don't know, but let's just say roughly. So, yeah, I think to break even, just to break even, the movie would need to make, you know, $30, $40 million. And I think it's already made, I believe you said $7 million. Let's say it stays in circulation. And here's another thing. It came out in select few theaters on the weekend that there was a hurricane. Mad people is not going to go see the movie because there's a hurricane on, you know, the East Coast and in the Southeast. So there's a lot of different variables to it. Of course, like I said, by far the largest variable is the negative publicity associated with Nate Parker as a person, because if everything was going on track from when it first came out, it would have blown box office out the water, because the film is actually very good, people. But anyway, that's a whole other subject.
Right, and we don't want to give this is spoiler-free conversation. We don't want to give nothing away about the film, so we want to be able to talk about the film, talk about Nate Parker. But for those who actually want to see it, you can go on and see it without us spoiling it, unless you write in or you get on the phone and you tell me to spoil it, then I'll just go on ahead and spoil the damn thing for you.
If you don't know what happens with Nat Turner, you need to go Google him right now, because you should already know what's going to happen in this movie. But anyway, go ahead.
Right, you should, but that was one of the critiques of the movie, that it was grossly inaccurate in terms of history. You know, he comes out, he says he wants to make this film that tells the story of Nat Turner and still show some fidelity to history. He didn't do that.
I disagree. I just, my bad. Go ahead, John.
Hold on a quick second. Now, let me ask you a question, John, real quick. Is there anything you can do in terms of the phone that you on?
What you mean? What are you talking about?
Are you using
sound
the
like
cord?
You on a magic jack.
Oh, Christ.
Magic Jack. No. How many people remember Magic Jack out there?
People got.
I remember Magic Jack.
Joke. yeah. Okay, hold up. Is this better or worse? This is totally amateur hour. Is this better or not?
Nah. You know what? I'll drop you a clip for next
when you
week
talk,
so we don't go for
up.
This. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Just like that. Leave it right there. I'll drop you a call right. For next week. We ain't going to go through this. But
right.
Check it.
Yeah,
Jonathan.
Yo.
Did you get a chance to see the movie yet?
So no, I didn't get a chance to see the movie. But I'm not particularly a movie too much guy, dealing with, you know, the household, kids, everything like that all together. I'm both a kid.
Right.
I mean, I say kids. I don't want people to get the wrong idea. I'm still, you know, young and spry, ladies. I'm here for you. But, I mean, it's a touchy subject, man. This day and age with just, you know, how social media is, just in general, everyone is just oh so quick just to jump on everyone else's bandwagon. And I think that's a problem. You know what I'm saying? It's evident when you see everything that's going on with Trump and you have those people and their supporters. I mean, and not to say... We don't know what happened with the guards, you know, to this individual who made the film. And then, look, I'm going to act like I don't know his name. So hopefully not saying that I'm trying to exonerate him. But I know one thing when it comes to men is that when you get accused of any form of sexual assault, whether or not it is true or false, that's something that sticks with you for the rest of your life, period. You know, and I really don't think that's fair. You know, now don't, please, let me say this, like, you know, any sexual assault is wrong, period. I have a daughter, I'd kill someone in a heartbeat, you know. But I think individuals are jaded that when they hear something like that, they automatically say the individual is guilty. If he was hanging out with somebody that did it, then he's definitely guilty. Everyone's guilty. And that, I mean, that we can't move past this and support it, I mean, it's just ridiculous. I know that there was a post somewhere on Facebook where it listed four other movies prior to this movie that he made, that there was no hoopla whatsoever until this movie was coming out.
Yeah, you know, and I would say a lot that largely is because he wasn't the center of it. He wasn't the center
right.
of those other movies. Like, and there are a couple of different ways you can go with this. When you look at the content of this movie, this is by far the most confrontational movie he's done, the most violent movie he's been a part of. Like, this is – you're talking about harkening back to a time where there was a fear that black people who were slaves would rise up and revolt. You don't want that type of spirit amongst young black people today. Especially with everything that's going on with Black Lives
it's
Matter.
It's too late. It's already there.
So, but it could be even worse. I mean, I'm going to tell you, I was in a movie theater. This is for real. No lie. Put this on my mama. Put this on my daddy. I'm in a movie theater, you know, and I went by myself, and it was one of those movie theaters where you had to pick your seat because you can recline and the bucket chairs with leather and all that good stuff. So dude who picked a seat next to mine, he watching the movie, and without giving the movie away, you know, there are some Christian undertones to it. This dude, every 5 minutes, man, F Christianity, F Jesus. And he's getting more and more irate looking at this movie to the point where he jumps up. I'm sitting on his right. He throws his popcorn. He throws it to the left, I might add, because I think he knew if he threw it to the right, it was going to be an issue. So he threw it to the left, and then he storms out. Yelling, F Christianity, F Jesus, we need to da 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 da. He did. Now, I think he was a little unhinged to begin with. But could it be a situation where, since he's the center of this movie, that could potentially ignite some stuff within people who are just looking to step up and fight? Could it be they try to kill the spirit of the movie before it even makes its way out to mainstream?
Man, I just know. I disagree with that, and I'm a very much a big conspiracy theorist type dude. But I think that we really have to be very careful about this. This is a real touchy subject. As anybody listening, if you have not, if you've been under a rock, debate has been raging on social media for the past, you know, 2 weeks or whatever the case is. But the facts about his particular situation are fairly egregious. I mean, from what I understand, and I wasn't on the jury, blah, 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 but he had basically a jump-off situation with somebody, and he was being intimate with this woman in one particular instance, and she was drunk, or she was, you know, inebriated, and so she was not able to give her consent. She was in agreeing, she agreed to have sex with him, but he basically brought his homeboy in too, and she didn't agree to that, but she was too drunk to really say yay or nay, and so things wound up happening, and after the fact, she realized what was going on, and she felt like she had been assaulted, molested, raped, etc., pressed charges, and there was a huge, big blow-up about this because she was a white woman, he was a black scholarship athlete. This all happened at Penn State, so there was a big kerfluffle brouhaha about this whole situation way back in the day, and apparently, like, they alleged that he, you know, was stalking her, not, I can't think of the right word, but, you know, he was basically trying to get her to change her story, so on and so forth, and so now, and then, as you mentioned earlier, after the fact, after all this blew over, and he was found not guilty, and his boy was found guilty, and all this other good stuff, the woman killed herself. Nick Parker goes on, and he's doing his Hollywood acting career thing, but this nevertheless was just kind of circling over it. But people didn't know about it, and we're at a point in our culture where women especially feel very vulnerable and attacked and non-protected, and so I think that there's a major emotional component to their response to him because he kind of almost symbolizes the, I don't know, what is the word, patriarchy. You know what I'm saying? That people seem to feel like they under. And it's basically kind of a perfect storm of nonsense. Not, it's not nonsense. It's extremely important. But it has nothing to do with the film. And I just, in my opinion, it is a shame that the movie is suffering from people's perhaps accurate dislike of Nate Parker.
And I think
I could not have said it better.
Yeah, and I think the movie is suffering from, and the reality is, what you said, like, it's almost become a lightning rod issue. And in reality, it makes sense because how many women do you know that have been sexually, physically, verbally assaulted? I mean, it got to a point in time in undergrad, I would meet a woman and automatically assume she had gone through something because I kept meeting women who had gone through some type of sexual assault, either when they while they were young, while they were in high school, or while they were young adults. So this is something that a lot of women can gravitate towards because a lot of women have experienced it. And what we don't understand, at the very least on a college campus, because this happened on the college campus, what we don't understand is, you know, you're young, when we feel like, you know, it's just us being out, having fun, or doing whatever. And oftentimes, even when a woman says yes, she could legally be in a position where she could wake up the next day and be like, no, I didn't want to do this. And legally, she could be like, no, I didn't give consent. Even if she's butt naked, jumping up and down, screaming, take me, I'm yours. Like the alcohol piece. You know, we used to talk to kids about that on college campuses all the time. The alcohol piece, if they consume alcohol and they under 21, they can't give consent. They can't. Legally, they can't. You still can go to jail for rape.
Period.
And even if they're over the age of 21 and their judgment's impaired by alcohol, legally, they can't give consent. So now when you think about that in retrospect, how many times you done had sex with somebody who was inebriated? But
I'm going to never.
In your mind, Yeah, right, right, right. That's going to be your response, right? Never. But in your mind,
yeah.
In your mind, yo, that's my shorty, that's my lady, we've been kicking it, da-da-da, or someone I'm trying to get with, we met out here, we met at the bar, we met whatever, we went back to the crib, we smashed. The next day, she could wake up and be like, nah, I didn't want to do that. That's the soft one.
Yep.
I call that soft rate. But then we have a lot of women who go through some serious, real, traumatic stuff. And when they see this, they say, no, I've drawn a line in the sand. I cannot support you because you
exactly.
represent the victimizer.
Yes,
can't do it.
And that's basically what it boils down to.
All right, let me
yep.
let me get a call. We got a couple of callers on the line. Let me get a call real quick and see what they have to say. Caller, we're going to identify you by your last four digits of your phone number, the last four digits of your phone number. Once I identify you, your mic will be hot. So unlike Donald Trump, you need to know that your mic is hot. And I want you to say something. If you were just listening over the phone, just say, I'm listening, and I'll kill your mic. You won't have to worry about talking. But if you got something to add to the discussion, please feel free to add to the discussion. Last four digits is 3620. 3620. Who are you and where are you calling from?
Hi, everybody. This is Patrice. I'm calling from Detroit. I missed you guys.
Hi, Patrice. Miss you too, baby girl.
Oh, my goodness. I love Patrice so much.
And I love you too. And I'll be there in a few weeks. So maybe I'll get to see you.
Homecoming and you come for homecoming, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, see you then. What's your comment, baby girl?
Yeah, I was just calling to listen, but I do have an opinion about this. I've read a little bit of the transcripts and a little bit of the background when I first heard about all this. I said, you know what? No, I really take, like, the race culture is something has to change about that. It's not okay to this, rape isn't okay, rape is sexually assault isn't okay, and also it is not, we do a lot of victim blaming in our society. So it's the, you know, the woman is well, she was dressed like this, and she said, she was saying yes, but, so I'm aware that that is an issue. I am also aware that there is another issue that has landed a lot of black men in jail, wrongfully so. So, or in prison, where you have the white women who are claiming things that have happened that didn't necessarily happen. And looking at the dynamics of this case, there is a racial implication in this case because you kind of have to think about where he was. He was a student at Penn State, and if you've ever been to Penn State, I've been to State College a few times, and to be quite honest with you, the people there don't really look like us. So I find it difficult to believe that the evidence presented that he was someone who got off because he had a promising future ahead of him, and the judge said, you know what, I don't want to ruin this man's future, so innocent. In that community, if they had enough evidence to commit him, we would never know him. He would be in jail. He would have been locked up, period. That's just my belief, and especially, like I said, because I've read some of the haven't read it all, but I've read some of the transcripts, like the conversations that they had. I read some of the things that were stated in court, and I'm not really convinced that that's what happened. Now, also with that being said, go ahead.
Well, you're alluding to some of the transcripts and things that were said in court, and I think I know what the pieces you're talking about. Like, I read a piece in the transcript where they had a conversation the night before, and he was tugging on her underwear, and she was like, no, and he was like, all right, cool, but she ended up giving him head, and she was asking court, why did you give him head? And she pretty much was like, well, you know, I like them, and I didn't want to have sex because I don't know him like that, but I didn't want to leave him with nothing. So pretty much I topped them off. And then later on in the transcripts, his lawyer, and this was really like trying to destroy her credibility. This is what his lawyer did, trying to destroy her credibility. He said he asked her about why she could remember neither Nate or his friend wearing condoms at the two different times that they had sex with her if she was that drunk. What he was trying to say is, well, you wasn't all that drunk. Let me ask you a question. With those things put out there, could it be a situation where they're trying to demonize her so much that it's easy for him to get off? And think about that and give me an answer to that. And let me ask you a second question. Let me ask you a separate question, which is completely on the other side of this, completely on the other side. Dadgabbit, I almost lost my second question. All right. Well, answer that. I got a second question for you.
But
this one's going
to. That is a possibility. That's something that I read recently. I read that one probably within the last week, I'll say. But that's not the thing I read initially. What I read initially was more their conversation. It was a transcript because he recorded her or she recorded him or one of them recorded
the telephone conversation that they had, right?
Right. And
that was supposed to be like a 45-minute long convo.
For the conversation, it seemed to me to be a little bit more of, okay, wait, I did this. Ooh, I shouldn't have done this. Almost like what she was saying was like, I didn't want to leave him with anything. And then there's this regret. Okay, so let me go ahead and backtrack some things. So what happened? It didn't seem like a, hey, I was great conversation. Like, what, you know what I'm saying? It seemed more like a, shouldn't have done that. I'm not that type of girl. Let me try to make myself seem like I'm not that type of girl. And that's what I said. Like my grandmother always said, I'm not the pillow nor the sheet. I don't know what happened. And I don't think, in most cases, I don't think that, I'm usually on the side of, look, you assaulted her, there's a problem. But I don't necessarily buy that's what happened here. And like I said, that is something that's historically an issue where Becky says, he attacked me, he raped me, it was against my, it was without my permission because she got caught with the black man and she didn't want her reputation ruined, she didn't want her parents disowning her, whatever.
This is my second question. It goes to this. You know, we talk that we want the criminal justice system, and I thought about this when you talked about if they could have convicted him, they would have. We want the criminal justice system to run its course to allow a black man to be innocent until proven guilty.
Mm-hmm.
If we have this black man, and now that's what we want. Ideally, that's what we always want when it comes to black men, black women, the criminal justice system. So now if we have this black man who went through the system and was not proven guilty, but we still hold the crime against him, have we now created our own double standard?
Absolutely.
I mean, you're only innocent once you pass the social media, let's say, judgment. Let's be real about the situation. And it's just ridiculous, I think, period. You know?
Well, I mean, we got to step away from saying that, well, he was found not guilty or, the legalese of it, because that's exactly what people would say about, you name the travesty of justice, R. Kelly, Woody Allen, whatever. The bottom line is she did not agree to have intercourse with the second dude, who is his co-writer, who actually went to jail for it and was found guilty. She didn't agree to that. Now, maybe she was knocked out, maybe she was drunk, whatever happened, it really doesn't even matter. You know what I'm saying? He was wrong for that. Period. Point blank. Began. Full stop. And
I think that's a point that. Go ahead, John. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
He has said, but see, that's what I to kind of reach to y'all's point. He has apologized for his wrongness. He was a young man. He was stupid. He was wrong. And all of the above. Dead wrong. Totally. He has said that he's wrong, and people do not want to accept his apology because in, like you said, the social media hive mind, he never paid for his mistakes. He is out here free. He's out here doing interviews and publicity for his new movie while his victim is 6 feet deep, and we don't know necessarily why, but there's a reason logically that maybe this had something to do with it. So people are holding that against him, and he appears to just people want him to constantly apologize, to keep saying, I'm sorry, to keep saying, I'm sorry. And a friend of mine kind of brought up another parallel. Kevin Powell from the first episode, the first season of Real World, had a domestic violence charge. And in the aftermath of all that, he basically was like, I've got to keep on, I'm going to be apologizing for this for the rest of my life, and that's okay because it was so egregious of me, and I need to be a better person and try to teach other people to be better people. And that's kind of where we are as a culture. We own this kind of cycle of outrage where you've got to be, if you have done something that is deemed so terrible, which rape is terrible, that you are going to be paying for that for the rest of your life. You're going to be apologizing for that for the rest of your life. If you want the public to kind of be like, okay, you know, we let you go with it. But if you come out and say, listen, I apologize once, I ain't apologizing about it no more, talk to me about my movie, they're going to be like, no, we're going to talk to you about this rape, and we're going to keep on talking about it because you do not feel contrite enough. You have not been punished enough. And, I mean,
Let me clear that up real quick. He went on two. I don't know what he said before he started promoting the movie, but he went on. He did two interviews that I watched. One with Anderson Cooper, that was part of the 60 Minutes piece, and one he did on Good Morning America with Robin Roberts. And in both situations, he emphatically said that he would not apologize. What they said was, "Do you apologize?" And what that left it open was, the way I viewed it, it left it open. They were asking him if he apologized for raping her. And what he was, and it looked like what he was saying was, not even what it looked like, he said, I am not going to apologize for it. No. He said, I was tried. I was vindicated. I was not found guilty. What am I apologizing for? And he said it at night with Anderson Cooper, and then when he was on Good Morning America the next day, he was like, yo, I said this last night. I'm not going to talk about it anymore. I'm not going to say it again. I'm not going to apologize. And I think that's what's making it even worse for him. Oh, 22nd time out. Patrice, I still got you on hold. Thank you for your call. Don't disappear. We probably going to come back to you. So, yeah, so he's like, that's what's making it worse for him, because people are like, say you're sorry. And he's like, I'm not going to say I'm sorry. And I think, I'm only speculating, I think in his mind is, if I say I'm sorry, then that means I accept responsibility for what happened. And I am not going to accept responsibility for what happened so long as I was legally not found guilty. So it, what you said, John, hits it on the head earlier. What you said earlier hits on the head for me. I'm going to ride out with it. Legally, he was not convicted of raping somebody. So legally, he didn't rape her, legally. But that don't mean you weren't wrong. I mean, you weren't wrong for what you did. You took advantage of somebody. Whether you got her drunk, she came over drunk, or whatever, you took advantage and you played a part in taking of someone else taking advantage of her. That is wrong. So you could throw out the legalese. Like you said, you don't want to lean too much on the criminal justice system, because at one point in time, it was legal. We was 3/5 of a man. But that was the law. We weren't supposed to read, and that was the law. I'm not going to get too much tied up in whether or not he was – in his mind, he's tied up in this legal thing. No, I'm not going to apologize because – but if he could just say, I apologize because that just wasn't what a young man aspiring to be a better man should have done, and I should have – held myself to a higher standard and been more responsible in that situation, as opposed to just being a young dude looking for ass. That might have changed the context of the discussion, maybe. Let's see if we can get another, because we got a couple callers still on the line that I haven't touched. The next caller, I'm going to call you by your last three digits of your phone number. If you're just listening on your phone, just tell us you're listening. If you got something to say, give us your name, where you're calling from, and let us know what you want to offer to the discussion. Last four digits is 3735. 3735.
Hello, Geneva. I'm just listening. You guys are great. It's been a while.
Hi,
I'm
Geneva.
Glad to hear you guys.
Hi, Geneva. Thank you for calling.
Hello.
We got to hear you sing sooner or later.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yep.
Keep up the great.
We're going to make that
work.
Happen. Thank you, lady. Bye. Okay, we're going to go to another caller then. Caller, let us know if you're listening or if you got something to offer. Last four digits is 1272. 1272, who are you and where you calling from?
It's Yanni, Bronx, New York.
Hey, Yanni Pooh, how you feeling?
Yeah.
I'm good. Okay, so I'm going to divulge something. just don't ask any questions in regards to that because it still bothers me. So this is me coming from a person who's been molested. Okay? And this whole, I'm not, the movie, yes, it should be seen. I'm not going to even knock it. I even promoted it at the very beginning of this. But when this whole Nate Parker thing came out, it hit too close to home for me. And the thing about it is you will not see me saying don't support the movie. I would say I'm not supporting the movie. And, you know, I don't go in particulars, but Rasheem, you see my Facebook post, you probably see me talking about all this other stuff and bringing up the stuff that they came for, the trial, the files, everything. And the thing about it at the end of the day is that it's not the issue about the movie, it's the issue about the man. I can't logically sit down at a movie theater and look at this man and say, you're portraying Nate Parker. I'm going to look at you as a rapist or the catalyst for the girl getting raped. Like I said, like, you know, one caller said, I wasn't there. I can't tell you what exactly happened. I can only go by what I saw, what I read, and what it was tugging at my heart. Okay? And at the end of the day, you can't sit there and tell a woman who may have gone something, has something similar, or anything go about and tell her to go support the movie because it's a black man, we got to support black people. No, because at the end of the day, he was a catalyst for something. And you said it first. Maybe at the time, and one caller said, there's a possibility that she wasn't raped by Nate Parker. But if you look at the documents from the court, it says there was three men. Nate Parker's getting it in. Somebody actually walk into the door and see him doing something. He was like, he didn't say close the door, you know, I'm going to get my freak on. No, hey, come on, join in. Third dude was like, I'm not trying to be a part of the party. He walks, he leaves. But then the second one gets in. He was a catalyst. She didn't invite dude. So the night before that she topped him off and gave him head and they were going to do something the next day, then who knows? I can't tell you. I can't tell you how it is and what it was and what went through her head and what everything like that. Because at some point in our lives, college and everything like that, we've had some kind of experience where, you know, you may feel that you may have to do a little something. You know, I'm not saying everybody. To feel some, you know, to make sure dude don't walk away or the girl don't walk away or whatever the case may be.
We got
you. Huh? Huh?
Yeah, we got you.
Okay. So when it comes to the whole situation and black women in particular looking at the situation, it doesn't even have to do – I'm going to say black women. I'll just say women in general and say that, you know, I personally can't go to a movie theater and say this is – I can't say this is a Nat Turner I want to see and, you know, what I've read in history and stuff like that. I'm going to look at Nate Parker as the dude is the rapist, whether he is or not, or the catalyst to the rapist and to the rape that lady had, okay? And at the end of the day – you know, it F's with people. It F's with people's minds, F's with people's future relationships, F's with the old types of things that could socket something. You know, you may think you got over it, and it'll come outside, you know, and the undertone through something else. Whether you're in a relationship, whether you're in a sexual relationship, a regular relationship, but just some kind of way, it will come out in some kind of way. But
Let me ask you a question, because you sound like you were. Better able to answer this than others. What do you say to those people who, as a critique to your stance, say, you ain't have a problem with him before? Why do you have a problem with him now?
I'll be honest with you, I didn't know him before. The first time I heard about dude was, what's that movie? Guiding Light, something light with the singer or whatever that movie was. That's the first time I ever heard of Nate Parker. So I can't really say much. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the chat too. I don't know what to. I didn't know him before, and I'm not going to act like. And don't get it twisted. I'm not saying that he may not be remorseful. I'm not saying that he may not do. But I'll tell you this: when the man came out with the movie, and we all came out, he sounded like a total asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then he came back, I don't know if it was Essence or Ebony or, no, his Facebook posting. He said, you know, he wrote about something, and he, like you said, he kept leaning on the legal part. And he didn't even acknowledge the fact that he may have done something wrong. He acknowledged the fact that during his youthful time that, you know, he did some stupid stuff. and whatnot that he did. But as I got older, you know, I know, you know, I've matured. I'm not the same person as I was before. But at the same time, you can't sit there and discredit the ish that you did.
Mm-hmm.
You can't discredit. You cannot sit there and say, oh, I'm not going to apologize. You're right. You may not have to apologize. Maybe in your mind you don't think you did anything. But I wonder, because he kept saying, I got daughters. I said, okay, put your daughter in the same shoe. That dude may not think that he did anything. That dude could sit there and be riding on that legal technicality or whatever you got off on.
And they do on a regular basis.
And you don't think anything. And don't get it twisted. I'm not even discounting the people that sit there and cry wolf. Believe me when I say that. But at the same time, whether I can't tell you if he did it or not, but I'll tell you this. He was a catalyst for another person to get involved.
Right, right.
He was
right.
a catalyst well, for another person to get involved. And I'm sorry. You at 19, 18, 19, you know right from wrong. Well, you know what? I had to think about that one for a minute because I've noticed that some kids, and I've noticed lately with the type of kids that I work with here in New York, that, you know, an 18-year-old doesn't think that the 18-year-old don't think that he's doing anything wrong when he getting you know, topped off from a 16-year-old. So, you know, give or take, I have to question that part. But, you know, with certain things, it's just that I can't, you know, I just can't understand. And the fact that the woman is dead, forget she's a white woman, forget anything, she's dead. Because they said she struggled with it. And then what even made it worse the whole time with Kurt Dockerman is when he would stalk her to have her change her thing or to tell her to stop doing what you're doing and everything like that. If you didn't think you did anything wrong, then you would have stayed under the stance of you not doing anything wrong. But the fact of the matter is that you sitting there stalking the chick and trying to make her feel even worse than what she is and calling her all types of names and to the point that the campus police got involved.
Right.
Come on, you made her felt, huh?
Thank you for your thoughts. I want you to stay on the line because we're probably going to come back to you, all right?
Okay, no problem.
Thank you, Mama. There's something that she brought up. Like she said, like when I asked her, you know, what was her response to the critics, would be like, well, you ain't had nothing to say before. And she said, well, you know, I didn't know him. And I think that should be fleshed out to a larger response to, well, we didn't know him at the time he was doing all that other stuff. I mean, when he was doing all the other movies. We didn't know him. We didn't know about this. But damn it, we know now. And by the fact that we know now, we should be able to make whatever decision we want to make regarding where we want to spend our dollars and what movies we want to say, we want to see. You know? So I think...
people have had the conversation so many times. When are we going to have... Nat Turner movie, where we going to have a Haitian Revolution picture, you know, these types of things. And it is not incumbent on the audience, basically, to make the movie that's what the producers and everybody is out there for. I wish that things could have played out a little bit differently, but I promise you, if I had a dollar for every conversation I've seen where someone, a woman, has said something similar to what Yenny had, where this was a trigger, and there was just simply no way. She couldn't look at him as anything else. And it's the same mentality, to be honest with you, as R. Kelly, as the response to Bill Cosby, as, you know, the litany goes on, and we're dealing with a real mentality that it's almost like we are brainwashed and just simply don't understand it, and now we're kind of finally waking up to see things differently from a different perspective, and it's just like, oh, snap, this happened, and wow, you're just looking at things so differently, because clearly, if you read the transcripts or you read the what exactly went down, he's dead-ass wrong, you know what I'm saying? But does that happen? Of course, all the time, and like we've just said, it's a mentality that is changing very, very rapidly. So many things that was acceptable 10 years ago, 20 years ago, will literally get you hemmed up, will get you locked up right now, and rightfully so. And we need to be having these conversations with young men so that they understand that you have to get consent from these women because, you know, and consent means yes. It can't be no body language, you know, I thought it was okay, none of that. I need to hear a complete yes. You know what I'm saying?
If at any point in time she changes her mind.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, consent, no.
At any point
like,
in time, if she changed her mind, you got to stop. Period.
Yep. Yep.
End of story. Now, it can become tricky in certain situations, but, you know, I think one of the pieces, too, is like when you say we got to get to our young men, we got to get to our young men and tell them it's okay to not, you know, to not take everything that's thrown at you. It's okay. Because a lot of these brothers don't understand it. So when they see a shorty who's willing to give it to them, then they go into that mode that they got to take it. Because, you know, we taught you never turn down two things, money and coochie. That's what we taught. But, you know, there's some point in time you got to go against that socialization, because that socialization is getting them both hemmed up too.
It's about toxic masculinity. That feeds right into what you was just saying. But we'll talk about that after the show.
Right.
Look, you have to get my man laughing because you said there's two things you don't turn down, you know, women and coochie. And the minute you said that, I was like, oh, damn, that's exactly what Donald Trump would say, huh?
Yep, money, and women. Money and women. You don't. That's how, you know, think about how the little boys are socialized coming up. You got to get the cash and you got to get all them women. So now we grow up in a situation where we take advantage of situations to either get money or women. And it's not until we get older and we be like, oh, we were straight out of pocket. So it's got to be a teaching to these young cats, because consent is real. And I can't be mad at a sister who don't want to see this movie because she's standing on her convictions or because she's had an experience.
Or both. I'm not mad at anybody for not wanting to see the movie for whatever reason.
Right.
You don't want to see the movie for whatever reason. But if you are slamming the movie and you have not seen it, that's not fair. You know what I'm saying?
That's different. Exactly.
If you're like, yo, I'm telling people don't see this for other, you know, because Nat Parker, whatever his name is a racist and womp, womp, womp. Just, you know, chill with that, please. Or I'm mad because he got a white wife. If I hear that one more damn time, why people are so upset that this man got a white wife, it boggles my mind. But if it's extraneous things that you got an issue with Nate Parker and you don't want to see it, don't see it. By all means, let people make up their own mind on both sides of it. On the flip side, if you are like, yo, you got to go see it for the culture and for the people and support the brother, man, shut up. Let people make up their own mind. If you want to see the movie, see it. If you don't want to see it, don't see it. But please let people make up their mind, and let's not act like this is just, people will treat this like it's a civil war and getting blocked on Facebook because you went to go see Birth of a Nation. Please chill out with that.
Yeah, I had serious concerns, like I said, with the historical accuracy of the movie. I'm not going to give out no spoilers, but there's certain things that took place in the movie that just did not take place in real life. There's certain things that never happened, certain places they never got close to, and it's written in the movie as if it happened and it didn't. With that said, I'm a movie buff. I like stories. So in my mind, it's still a good story. I don't go to a cinematic movie looking for it to be a documentary. I don't. I don't expect to get my lesson from A Birth of a Nation. That's not where I'm going to get my research and my documentation from. So I take that into consideration. I also take into consideration that Fox is not going to pay $17 million to teach these black people anything about slave uprising and revolt, and it's real. I'm sorry. So when you talk about you want to see a Nat Turner film, that Nat Turner film cannot be made by mainstream cinema, and it not be true. It will not be true. Malcolm X, made by Warner Brothers, everyone loved the movie. It was not historically accurate. Some parts were, some parts weren't. It wasn't a documentary. You know, if you're going to find a movie that's put out there by mainstream cinema, it's not going to happen the way we want it to happen. Now, if you want to get an independent film like Hallie Jarima's Sankofa, that was more true to form when you're talking about plantation revolts than what you would find in Nate Parker's film. Definitely more true to form. So, you know, I that's the way I look at it. I compartmentalize it. It is a movie. As much as he wants to say it's a true story, it is fictitious. He is young, and he don't know what the hell. You know, I mean, there are people who spent years researching that man, years researching Turner. You do a little bit of research, you come up with a script, you pass it through mainstream media, and now you have a true-to-form story. I don't believe that. It doesn't go down like that.
I mean,
sorry.
To me, that's not even a legitimate critique. No offense intended to anybody who feels that way out there.
No, that's what this is about.
But that's what I'm saying. He's not trying to make a documentary. He's not
trying to make a documentary, but
he's making a historically based fiction movie.
I'm gonna read his quote if I can find it real quick, which to me said everything. If I can find it,
the historical record shows that Nat Turner decapitated a 9-year-old little girl. That's what he's supposed to have done. That's the only person that he killed. All the other slaves killed the other 59 white people. You ain't going to put a little white girl getting her head chopped off on a damn movie that you expect to get made and financed, because it's a movie. People do not want to see children killed. Damn sure don't want to see
right.
no little white blonde girl get her head chopped off by this big buck nigga here that's a runaway slave. It just is not going to happen. People need to, like, let go of. He ain't on PBS. He's trying to make a movie.
I feel you. I really, really do. But what I'm trying to get this man's words, because this is what got me. And if I can find his words, I'll read it for you in a quick minute, because I know we're getting short on time. Where are you?
Might be ill. Well, while we got this downtime, I want to send all the rest in peace condolence wishes to my man, Tommy Ford, who passed today. There will never be a Martin reunion show now. I'm heartbroken about this. People don't realize this, but Tommy was the original plug. Nobody knew. Everybody was like, oh, Tommy ain't got no job. Tommy's job was selling drugs. We didn't know that was the undercurrent joke. But nevertheless, it's over with now. Rest in peace, Thomas Ford. We miss you already.
Rest in peace. Okay, so this is what he said in Vanity Fair, in which Parker stated that he had become, and I'm quoting here, obsessed with the idea of telling Nat Turner's story, end quote, and that he sought to create, quote, historical fidelity to his depiction of the leader of the rebellion, end quote. So if you're seeking to create historical fidelity, I'm looking for you to tell the truth. Now, once again, I'm not looking for you to have a documentary, but I'm looking for you to tell the truth. And a lot of that movie was nowhere close to truth. And in that mindset, he created something. And I'm like, dope, you created something. But let's not lie to the people and say it was dope. He was trying to say it was real. I'm fine with saying it ain't real. And it's
wait a minute. I got to
You got 10 seconds to close, because then we got to get him out of here.
Yeah. Okay. You saw the movie. Would you say that movie was 98% historically accurate?
I would say that movie was 50% historically accurate.
Oh, come on, man. Go ahead. Anyway,
50%.
Now we got to
have another episode. We'll talk later. John, you want to say peace to the people? Jonathan, you want to say peace to the people? Because we're about to get out. 10 seconds.
Yeah, no, we need to say peace, and most definitely we need to have a discussion just about just males and how they conduct themselves with females. That needs to be another topic.
Yes.
All right. Next week, y'all. Peace.
I'm focused, man. Tell stop to holler at me, man.
It's a brother, one of you.